Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, February the 27th, 58th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the California Highway Patrol Southern Humboldt Command. We'll go with the command. It sounds a little bit more impressive, doesn't it?
It does. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Brett Fabry. How you doing?
Good.
Are you comfortable with the title?
Yes, it works out fine.
I figured it's almost been a year, hasn't it?
It has.
Now, do you get to go on vacations to Hawaii like other area commanders get the opportunity to do?
I am only a lieutenant. Only a captain commander gets to do that, apparently.
Oh, I see. And there was no sharing of the wealth or bringing anything back, cookies or coffee or that kind of stuff.
He sent pictures to me while he was there.
Oh, pictures. Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, well, that's almost as good, isn't
it? Yes.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about, we'll get an update from Brett about Richardson's Grove. Also, some of the activities going on this summertime in southern Humboldt, northern Mendocino. But as well, get his comments on the, developing story is the way to say it, with the San Francisco PD and some of the bad apples there and some of the precautions and some of the, procedures that are put in place in our area to help alleviate or at least reduce the likelihood of that occurring in our area. So, lots of stuff to talk about, including, maybe you can share the pictures with the audience, too, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry from the California Highway Patrol. Our quote this afternoon comes from John Locke. Did you ever have to suffer through Locke in any of the history or philosophy?
No, I didn't.
They probably don't teach economics and philosophy at CHP school, do they?
Probably not.
You mean you don't know?
I don't remember.
You don't remember either. Okay,
yes.
Good. Quote, I've always thought the actions of men the best interpreters of their thoughts. That kind of tees it up for the SFPD, doesn't it? When you hear something like that story, and I don't know if it's easy enough just to say good cops gone bad, or maybe bad cops surfacing to the surface, or whatever it is. What's your immediate reaction?
It's disturbing. It's disturbing because the public places a large amount of trust in us. That trust, when it's violated by a small handful of officers, you're talking five officers in an agency the size of San Francisco PD, it makes people look at all law enforcement differently, not just San Francisco PD, but they look at all law enforcement differently. And so, to me, that's disturbing.
So what does the CHP have in place as far as the double checks, the safety nets, the procedural things that are in place so that you're not tempted to do any of those types of things?
Well, it starts in the hiring process. You know, it starts with doing a background, and it starts with having the right people, making choices about the right kind of people that we want to hire. And then we have a good academy that teaches them all the right things to do. We have policies with, we have a CHP pride, which is our professional values. And so, we reiterate those values every single year and every opportunity that we have. And, with good supervision, we monitor the work of our officers. We listen to what citizens say about our people, good, bad, or otherwise. And then we also have, some technology. We use the mobile vehicle audio recording system, which records traffic stops. A lot of officers record their stops on audio. And so those are the things that, prevent this. But, you do have some instances where you have a couple officers who put us in a bad light.
So when you, yeah, I've never, I don't think I've ever, maybe I did once, took a personality profile test.
Mm-hmm.
What are those like?
You mean that like a psychological test?
Yeah. So when you're saying, okay, is this guy blowing smoke? Is he real? Does he have propensities for this or for that? Or we have to pay attention, you know, learning abilities or lack thereof. You know, all those things that you want to know before you start down the trail with somebody. What do you? What kinds of questions are asked?
Well, you know, the psychological test is, actually, I don't remember all the aspects of it, but basically it's just one part of the whole process. You know, but after the psychological test, you have a either a polygraph or a voice stress analyzer test. Then the background process, we talk to your friends, we talk to your neighbors, we talk to your family to try to get the whole overall picture of who is this person that we're hiring. What is the propensity for, is he a violent person? Is he not been truthful to us? Have we found some things out that he didn't tell us? Because usually that means you're trying to hide something. And so that's all part of the process, and that's where it starts in the beginning.
As opposed to you or me, is, oh, gee, I forgot. And you really did forget.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. We don't want people to conveniently forget the bad things.
Well, I'm thinking the age component kicking in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that is right. I did get an A in that class, didn't I?
Yes.
So as they're going through that process, what do they look for? I mean, is it like signing on with the Marines or a military? Is it like going into any profession where you've got the ability to carry a gun and take somebody's life? I would think that it would be a higher standard than what most of us would ever be accustomed to because of some of the privileges that comes with the job.
It is a higher standard because the power that we're given to us as the police is to take away somebody's rights, their rights of freedom, their rights to be protected in their home. And so that's a tremendous amount of responsibility. And that's why we want to make sure that we select the right people for that. And that's why the background process is very thorough, along with, you know, a polygraph, a voice stress analyzer, interviewing people, finding out who is this person. Who is this person that we are going to give these exclusive rights to?
Now, I know this is probably the most un-PC question I could ask, so here it comes.
Go ahead.
Are there any ethnic trends based on culture?
Not that I know of.
I wouldn't think that there would be, but...
You know, the Highway Patrol, we have, you know, probably 11,000 employees, and we have people from all different backgrounds. And but it's what makes us a good organization, too.
Even from Humboldt County, I understand.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 424. Jeez Louise. That's been, what, about 4 years, 5 years? Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry. Thanks for saving me, by the way.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I was doing so well all by myself. Brett, the situation in San Francisco with the five cops going in, selling evidence, grabbing evidence, using it for their own. I would think, even if you did the tightest personality profile testing in the world, you got $1 million in cash in front of you, and you're the only dude there. Other than the bad guys?
You have to leave it there?
Yeah.
That's what the public entrusts us to do.
$2 million, $3 million, $5 million, $10 million. I mean, everybody's got a price at some point. So how do you culturally reemphasize this stuff. So not under your leadership. That's not even a mover. You just kind of go, oh, that's what it looks like, and move on. How do you, or conversely, how do you double check? How do you keep evidence? How do you know that, you know, a couple of bills just don't errantly fly out the window?
Yeah, you have to trust in your people. I mean, you know, that, and that's hard. That's hard to do in the situations that you've given us. That's hard to do, but you have to trust in your people. And, you know, there's safeguards in place, but you have to trust your people that they're doing the right thing. And, you know, in this case, if you look at, you know, what was taken, you know, I mean, these officers, you know, get paid a decent amount of money, and they're taking a $500 Apple gift card.
It's like the Rodney Dangerfield line. Yeah, his dad was so stupid he got stolen for stealing pens from the bank.
Yes. Yeah. And so you're this is a theft of you know, I know there's a much more to it than that, but you know, it's a theft of a $500 Apple card and some other stuff, and that's a very small amount compared to what these officers make and what this has done to their lives.
When a bust happens, we'll just use marijuana, and there's a bunch of money around, too. I mean, let's make it as simple as we can. What's the protocol that you guys go through, either for weighing the material or identifying it so that you can go to court and they can go to court and everybody says, no, this is what was taken, this is what was processed, this is what is in the evidentiary locker, this is what you have in front of you?
Usually the people are still there. There's many officers there. So, you know, we're packaging it and weighing it as we're packaging it. The money's counted. Receipts are given. And so it's all done with everybody present. There's no secret to any of that.
You know, same happens if you pull over. If you're, okay, let's really play real. Some goofball's driving and his back light is out and you pull him over for a fix-it ticket. And you see three hefty bags in the back seat, and you know some rolls of bills on the front seat, and you go, "Uh-oh, here we go, game on."
Same thing. Call
everybody else comes in.
Everybody else comes in. So you got witnesses there. It's audio, video. You know, same thing. We weigh it. We give receipts. That way, there's, you know, there's no secrets. We're you know, government agency. We're transparent.
Oh, sorry. Just couldn't check off on that one quick enough. When you get the new guys, I know the Garberville station is one that tends to have a magnet for a lot of young bucks coming right out of school.
Yes.
Is that part of what you have to smack them in the head about over and over for the first couple months that they're here? You're going to see things that you never believed really existed. You're going to find things that reinforce that, yes, the stories are true, and don't let it color your opinion.
Yes, but it starts in the academy with them. You know, they get 6 months of this is how you do the right thing, but then, you know, they come up here and they see, you know, large amounts of marijuana, they see large amounts of cash, and but we have a strong system in place for you know, their values, and we have good training officers that are teaching them, you know, how to do the right thing, and so that's you know, is not a problem.
Would you know if it was?
Yes.
Is there been any history at all in the past?
Not that I've heard of.
Okay, nothing in the records? Or
no.
They've been destroyed as guys move on?
We keep all records. Nice try.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You know, any cheap shot's a good shot, right?
That's right.
Are there any plans to expand the office? If marijuana... Nah. Restart. When marijuana becomes legalized, does the CHP have any contingency plans? Will your office increase? Will it shrink? Will it change? Will it be the same? Any idea how that'll play out if either there's a whole lot more business going on or a whole lot less growing on in our area?
Probably not, because our main mission in the Highway Patrol is traffic safety. So, you know, that is our one main responsibility. You know, we don't deal with search warrants of marijuana gardens and stuff like that. That's left for Mike Downey and his group. And so we wouldn't see any expansion because of any kind of legalization.
Yeah, okay. It's really cool, the relationship that all the different law enforcement agencies have got.
Yes.
So I know while traffic enforcement is the primary.
Correct.
Yeah. If the deputy is half an hour away, I know who gets the call.
Yes. Yeah. Some law enforcement agency will be there because we work closely with everybody.
Yes. Yeah,
well, you have to in an area like Humboldt County where law enforcement is not as plentiful as in bigger areas, and so we work very closely with all agencies.
How tough is it to get to some of the rural areas for your guys? Let's say you get a call from Alder Point. Okay, that's off the beaten path.
Takes us a little longer for most to get there.
Will you staff your guys or have shifts to allow somebody have to make a run and not really lose the primary coverage?
It's still all part of our area, so if there's a call that's off the beaten path, we'll respond to it and hope that something doesn't happen on 101 at the time. But then we have other people around, so we usually have enough people working to handle the calls that we have down there.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabree from California Highway Patrol out of the Garberville station. Brett, the challenges with Richardson's Grove. It seems like anything in Humboldt County becomes a religious fervor for a segment, regardless of whatever it might happen to be. As you're looking at Richardson's Grove, is it a spot where there's a lot of collisions? Accidents, whatever we want to call them. I don't know if Ron Waters is listening now. Collision, okay. Nothing's an accident. Okay, fine, thanks. Where there's contact with trees, with other vehicles. Is that something that is prevalent through that area because of the road design at this point?
We haven't had a lot of collisions in that area, but the problem is that the trucks that are coming through, these larger STA trucks that come up here that aren't supposed to be up here because the route is not a designated STA route, they have to cross over into the other traffic lane. And so at this time, we haven't, we've had some accidents, but it's only, could be a matter of time before, we have two vehicles collide in there that could potentially block 101 for a significant amount of time.
I've always thought it curious how redwood trees enjoy RV rearview mirrors as a food product.
Yes.
Do you guys have to spend a lot of time cleaning up just the debris on the road from two rigs coming too close, somebody not paying attention, that kind of stuff?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Yeah, it doesn't happen as often as probably people think, and so we're not out there doing that very often.
Yeah, it's kind of like the duck in the arcade. The cop going across the street.
Yes.
During this time of the year when it gets wet through that area, does that make it a little bit more dicey? Or through, Avenue of the Giants, some of those that have the canopy over them and they don't dry out for a period of time, do people understand? Do they slow down or do they just kind of go bombing through like they normally would?
Well, right now, actually, Avenue of the Giants is usually used in the summertime. That's really, it's a tourist route and it's pretty busy in the summertime. This time of year, it's usually locals, so they're very familiar with it. But, yeah, the road does stay wet and, then you get the redwood leaves on it, so they can get a little slipperier than normal. And then Richardson Grove, when it's raining pretty hard, like I was coming back from San Francisco last night, it was raining really hard. It's hard to see going through there. When the road starts getting wet and the headlights are shining in different directions.
Yeah, dark is dark.
Dark is really dark.
Yeah. Imagine that. What's the status with, obviously it's not a bypass, I guess it's a reroute through Richardson's Grove. Is there anything that's going on? Are you hearing about more protesting or any kind of activity?
Yeah, the project is basically a realignment project. It's realigning the roadway to make it safer for everybody and allow larger STA trucks to travel through there safely and legally. Here recently, there was a lawsuit that was filed against the environmental impact report. It looks like they succeeded in one of those elements, and so Caltrans is evaluating what they're going to do from here as far as whether they're going to challenge that or whether they're going to make those changes that were recommended. So it's kind of back in Caltrans's court, and we're kind of waiting to see how that's going to play out. I don't know if it will delay the project for this construction season coming up or if they'll still get it off the ground. It's kind of in Caltrans's court right now. But
do you guys play with Willits at all?
Yes.
How's that coming along? I mean, we can start to see a little something going on now, so that's kind of cool.
Yes. The Willits project will start construction in April 1st is when the construction season down there will start again. And they're moving forward. It's on track to be completed on time. And
When is it supposed to be?
I believe it's 2016 is when it's due to be completed. Might be 2015. I'm not for sure. But it's at least two more seasons.
I would think that you guys and Willits PD have got to hold your breath any day, you know, because of the frustrations of the backups through town, but also the goofy, and I'll just say goofy way, that they have it with the pedestrians. You know, all the crosswalks throughout town, and you're supposed to stop?
Yes.
As these folks just decide they're going to cross the street instead of wait for a lull in the traffic?
Yeah. It will make it safer going through Willits because you won't have the amount of people who just want to go past Willits and get on to somewhere else. If you still want to go through Willits, you're still going to be able to do that. But this bypass is going to make it much safer for, you know, it's going to get trucks out of downtown Willits that are passing through, getting on, going somewhere else.
Well, like Cloverdale.
Yeah, same as Cloverdale, exactly.
Yeah, it's surprising to me that we don't hear more. And maybe we don't hear more because it's not closer, but I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen it too, when you guys go up and down the, how many near accidents there are. You know, go ahead, step out in front of a cement truck, expect it to stop.
Yes.
Or a loaded logging truck. Or like, you know, Damien was talking about with the plywood guys hauling this stuff down into the Bay Area or into Sonoma County. And it's like, of course they're going to stop on the dime because I am in the crosswalk.
Not necessarily. You hope that they do. I wouldn't take that chance.
I wouldn't think so. Do you guys have any problems with that same scenario playing out in Garberville or in Red Ray? As you're around or as others are driving through, that people somehow think pedestrian rights exceed vehicle power?
Not necessarily. Just because the amount of traffic flow in Garberville and Red Ray is kind of slow. And so people, they realize there's a lot of activity usually in the summertime in those, in Garberville and Redway. And so you can tell that there's a lot of people around. And so people, I think, are a lot more cautious. And we haven't really had any, knock on wood, haven't had any problems here recently with that.
So it's a little different than Broadway, too.
That is correct, yes.
That's kind of the sense that I had. KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Brett Fabry.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Wasn't too painful.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. Little does he know. We got five more minutes to make it painful. We're back with Brett Fabry. Brett, the activities during summertime, certainly the tourist season is a big deal in southern Humboldt, northern Mendocino areas. Lost travelers.
Yes.
You know, the RV people that really don't know where they are or how they got here, but they know they're going to some other place and coming through the area. Do those present special challenges for the motoring public? Just that in and of itself, not any of the music festivals or any of the other activities, but just summertime, redwoods, and unfamiliar territory and windy drives?
It's a travel destination, and so, yeah, you have people who have gotten their new motorhome, they've gotten their new travel trailer, and they're going to take it to the Redwoods, and it sometimes can be challenging parking those in different, state parks and stuff like that, and those can be challenging. We hope that they travel safely and get to where they want to go, but it is a definitely a summer destination, the southern Humboldt area.
Are you guys experiencing any of the burl cuttings that they are at Redwood National Park?
No, we haven't.
Have you heard about that?
I heard about it, yes.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre, weird thing. For those who don't know, at least is what I've heard, is there are people going in Redwood National Park, and it's to the point where they're talking about closing the access roads at night, and getting in there and cutting the burls off the trees.
Yes, I heard that.
I can't imagine how high up they can get, but it just seems like a really goofy thing, but I don't know. I guess, you know, when you're in a situation when you need some money.
I guess if people are going to steal something, they'll steal it no matter what.
Steal a tree. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So you've also got the music festivals that go on. Are those manageable now? Are they easy? Are they part of the flow? And it just is kind of like the changing of the seasons?
Yeah, you know, the thing about the music festivals is we have, we have actually the four largest ones is we have Redwood Run, we have Reggae on the River, we have a new one that started last year was called Northern Nights, and then we have a Summer Arts, which is just a weekend festival. But we work very closely with the organizers, and so we provide them with information, we provide them with suggestions, and they work closely with us, and it makes the process go pretty smoothly. So it works out pretty well.
The one that's north of Laytonville, out in the flats there, Labor Day?
That's actually after Labor Day. It used to be called the Kate Wolf Music Festival, although I think it's called something.
It was like Pig Festival or something.
Now. It's called the Pig Farm, I think.
Pig Farm, okay.
Is what the location is.
I've never seen any pigs there.
But yeah, there's an event that goes on there, and we work with them also as far as setting up and making sure there's enough law enforcement. I know that Tom Allman with the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office, he works with them as well.
Are those fun to do?
I enjoy them because, you know what, I think it's good for the community. It's a community event. Most of these groups, some of the money that is made is donated back to the community. The people that are involved in putting them on are usually part of the community. So, and the community enjoys the events, and so anything we can do to support that, we'll do it.
Gratis?
What do you mean?
Free? Or do they have to pay for some of the services?
They usually enter into a reimbursable contract with us, so they pay for some of our services.
Okay. Yeah. But you don't hit them with overtime and things like that?
The reimbursable services is overtime.
So oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, they're paying for officers to work those events.
So what's prevailing wage for a CHP officer?
It's a reimbursable wage. Which factors in all factors, including the mileage of the car.
Oh, okay. So you guys really have a total overall.
Yeah, there's a total overall number that headquarters gives us.
Okay. So do you look for volunteers, or is that an assignment that you get and you put guys on rotation through?
People volunteer for that. Yeah, a lot of people like working those events.
Okay. Just because it's a little different and
it's
a little
different,
bit fun.
It's different. It's fun. The people are there to have a good time. And so, yeah, they try to make it fun.
Cool. Well, hopefully this wasn't too painful for you.
No, it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll know the truth of that, whether or not you come back. Well, enjoy your pictures.
Thank you.
And perhaps a macadamia nut or two.
Yes.
In honor of those who've been to Hawaii in the last month.
That is correct.
All right.
All right.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.
Thanks.